All of you, it's great to see you here at Newbury Baptist Church this morning. Very pleased to welcome you to our worship today. Especially pleased to welcome members of the Boys Brigade who will be parading the colours shortly and for whom there are a number of awards this morning. So it'd be good to congratulate them on those and to pray also for our Boys Brigade and for their leaders. Out in the lobby as you came in, you'll find copies of this, Star of Wonder. This is the theme of all our Christmas publicity this year, and these cards are now available to give away. So if you've got friends that you want to invite to things, we've been talking about that on the evangelism course, just help yourselves to some of these cards and give them away to friends to invite them to different things going on over Christmas. I'd like to invite you to come back at 4:15 this afternoon for open house for families with children. It's great fun, lots of noise, lots of things to make, and not something to be missed. That's 4:15 this afternoon. On Tuesday of this week, at 1:30 at Thatcham Crematorium, we have the funeral service for John Hall. And then at 2:30, we have a service of thanksgiving here. If you are able to come to those, we would love you to do so. If you're not able to come, please would you make it a point to pray for the family on that day, Tuesday afternoon. Please do pray for them as they prepare to say goodbye to someone who's been so special. So please remember them in your prayers. Now, I'm looking for Nick. There he is. Nick's got some good news for us. Come and share it.
Morning, everyone. Most of you know about Newbury Street Pastors, the work that the street pastors do in the town Saturday nights, going out, looking after people, picking up people, helping people get home. Some of you, and most of you probably know that the street pastor movement in Newbury began primarily because of the work of certain individuals in this church. Debbie isn't here, I don't think, today, but Debbie was very instrumental in setting it up in the first place. Our office is in a room there, and we meet as a base every Saturday night in the foyer there. So what I'm really glad to tell you about is this. I'm delighted to say that Newbury Street Pastors was highly commended by the judges in the West Berkshire Council Community Group category. The panel applauded the work of Newbury Street Pastors and the positive impact they have. The non-judgmental service provided in often challenging situations impressed the panel, especially as the street pastors put themselves in potentially dangerous situations. So it's good news for street pastors and the street pastor movement, but it's also good news for this church, because this church was responsible primarily for getting Newbury Street Pastors into this town in the first place, and it also supports the work of Newbury Street Pastors in a significant way, both financially and in terms of prayer support. So thank you for all your support. Please do continue to give your support, whether it's financially or whether it's in prayer. We really appreciate it, but it's good news. There is an award ceremony on the 6th of December at the council offices, which I shall attend. Hopefully Debbie can attend, and Eve Hughes will attend, who's a street pastor as well. So thank you very much indeed.
Good, thank you. It's good news. As I say, very pleased to welcome Boys Brigade here this morning. I'm going to ask you if you would to stand as the colours come to the front. Thank you.
Sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever.
Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart. Let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down.
I can sing of your love forever.
Forever.
I can sing of your love forever.
Don't sit down, will you? Listen to these wonderful words. Wonderful words. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Let's worship together. Thank you, Ruth.
I Sing another song, and just for the first verse, we're just going to listen to Naomi sing the first verse by herself, and then we'll all join in with the chorus.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love of me, a sinner condemned, unclean.
Let's sing out now.
Singing
Father, we thank you for the song of hope and faith and joy which you have placed in the hearts of your people. Thank you for your promises falling fresh each day like dew forming upon the earth. Father, thank you for the company and the reassurance of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for all of this and more besides. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you please sit down. Well, it's great to see some rows of red and blue at the front here, and I've got all sorts of awards to present. So I'm going to ask, Roger, do you want to come and join me? This is to make sure I give the right thing to the right person, you see. This is why I've got my right-hand man here. And when I've given you your award, if you'd like to stay up here, because then we can see all of your smiling faces and we can pray for you when the awards are done.
I'll just try and explain what happens with Morton, everyone here, okay?
So it's been fun training this week and everything, because I'm a trainer for my job and everything, and teaching first aid with a sore throat is not easy. Edwin's response on Monday was he suggested I did it by interpretive dance. Still can't work out how to do that.
Thank goodness you don't listen to your brother then.
Yes, it is. Okay, now how it works with the awards, basically the boys get it, they do so many achievements under different headings. So the headings, they get them based on a body, spirit, mind, community and creativity. So it's based on our week-by-week programme where we sort of mix the activities up. So they're doing a little bit of something else every single week. And also it's when they're doing special events, like last week when we paraded for the Remembrance Day parade. We've had a weekend camp earlier on in the year and a few other activities as well. So some of the boys have got badges and service badges. If they haven't got a service badge, it's on a badge, it's basically because they've not been with us quite long enough to get all their achievements to get to it, so they've got a certificate instead. So everybody will get something this morning. Okay, so the first one we've got is Timothy Barham.
So Timothy, I've got for you a one-year service award, a Green Anchor Award. Well done to you. Very good. Do you want to come and stand over here next?
Eric's got a certificate for body, community and creativity.
Come on up then, Eric. Well done.
Yeah, it's very good. Well done. I'm going to stand up here.
Okay, older brother Henry, slightly different uniform because he's just moved up to juniors. So he's got his three-year service badge, his Anchor Blue Award, and he's also got a promotion up to junior section.
Well done. That's brilliant.
Shuffle along a bit. Can you shuffle along a bit, boys? But shuffle that way a bit. There you go. And now I've got Scott Martin, who's got his one-year service badge and his Anchor Green Awards. Come on up. Hey, well done you. That's brilliant. Shuffle along a bit.
I know. Face the front.
I've got Charlie Stevens, who's got his two-year service badge and his Anchor Red Award. Well done to you, Charlie. Well done.
Guys, can you all shuffle up a little bit more? Shuffle along that way.
That's it. A bit, okay,
then. And for... who have I got here?
Harley. Yep.
Harley Watts. I've got a certificate here for body, creativity, spirit and community. You've been busy. Well done. That's brilliant. Come and shuffle up with the others, look.
Okay, and then Joshua.
For Joshua, I've got a five-year service award, a loyalty award, and he's been promoted to the company section. Well done to you. That's brilliant. Do you want to stand down like on the step in front? That'd be great.
We've also got a special award for one of the officers, because when we've done so many years' service, we get bronze, silver and gold awards. Edwin and myself look like we should be due our gold awards, but we're not there quite yet. But they base it on number of years' service starting. You get a bronze award from 15-year service. We're a little bit behind with this one, because we didn't quite manage to present it when we should have, because we're about 2 years behind with it when somebody... check the figure work, but Sarah's been with us for 22 years as an officer, so we've got her silver service award. And just so Edwin and James don't feel left out, you two can come and stand up at the front as well.
Would you all like to stand with me whilst we pray for these boys and the others who aren't here this morning, and also for all the leaders too? Father, we thank you for Boys Brigade. Thank you that week by week they're learning about spirit and community and skills and all kinds of different life skills that will equip them in the years ahead. Thank you too that through the faithful witness of their officers they're learning about you. We pray now for your blessing upon them, all of them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
If you stay standing, don't sit down yet. We're just about to sing a song. We've just finished an evangelism course in the church. It's a course that was giving us confidence about sharing our faith with other people. And at the start of the course, Richard had asked us to sing this song, Rescuer, to get to know it, because the words in the song just remind us what it is that we have to share, the good news that we have to share. So as we sing it, it's a very cheerful song because we're so happy about what we have to share. But there's also some stamping that you can do. And Naomi has just about repaired her foot in time to be able to stamp loud. So if you join Naomi in stamping after each time we sing, He's Our Rescuer. Thank you. He's our rescuer. He's our rescuer. Yeah.
Sit down. We invite those out to their different groups to make your way there now.
We're going to spend some more time just focusing on God and worshipping him through two songs that we're going to sing together. So if you could stand and join in with me for Let the Weak Say I Am Strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor blind say, we're going to sing is You Laid Aside Your Majesty, but before we sing it, I just wanted to share some verses from 2 Philippians, starting at verse 7, which say, "But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And as we sing this song, we're going to play through it once, sing through it once, and then we're going to just have a bit of just the instruments playing. And in that time, I'd just really like you to reflect on those words that I've just read and think about when we come to sing, "I really want to worship you, my Lord." We have so much to worship him about and to give thanks to him for. So if you'd like to just join in as we sing that.
Father, we will never have either means or words to thank you adequately for all that you have done. Accept these tokens of our love and thanks, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do please sit down. Jackie's going to come and lead us in prayer.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. As the weather grows cold, we see beauty in our world, even on days when there is no sunshine. We praise you, Lord, for the colours and brightness of the falling leaves and the crispness of our autumn, for light and dark. We pray for the United States today, where so many people have been killed after the Californian fires, and we ask that you will be with all those who have lost their homes or whose family members are unaccounted for or have died in the fire. Thank you, Father God, for the emergency services who still work in the area. We pray for the situation in France with the fuel strike, and we ask that calm will be restored in the violence that has hurt or killed people who are not involved. Lord, we thank you for people from our country going out into the mission fields in other poorer countries, caring, helping people to understand who you are. Here at home, we pray for our government and other political parties. During these times of uncertainty, we pray they will use wisdom and discernment throughout the near and middle future with the many negotiations ongoing regarding exiting the European Union. We remember today the rising numbers of homeless here in the UK. We thank you for the various organisations that are helping those who are struggling, and we pray that a place will be found for all who are homeless to have a bed at night throughout the winter. Especially we pray for families with young children who are sometimes moving every few days without a place of their own to call home, and for the children especially as they keep changing schools. We pray for those who are unemployed, lonely or afraid, and for the sick. May they know your love surrounds them. We'll just take a moment to remember others known to us individually. Thank you, Lord, for Richard, our minister, and for the deacons here in our church. Father God, let us be encouraged. Fill our hearts with your spirit and challenge us in your daily life, in our daily lives. Give us strength to know you when we are struggling. And above all, help us to remember to keep you at the forefront of all we do in our lives. Amen.
Let's just respond to those prayers by sitting down and singing Spirit of the Living God.
Going to come and read from Acts chapter 26 now. Thank you.
Acts 26, verses 19 to 28. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Anne, very much. Let me introduce you to someone that those of you been on the Evangelism for the Reluctant course will know already. This is Nervy Nigel. Nervy Nigel was originally drawn for me by a cartoonist for a little book called The I Spy Book of Small Group Types, but we'll come back to that another time. For these past few weeks, he's been with us on our Evangelism course, and we've treated him appallingly, really. The first week he came along, and we plastered all over his face the words that described how we felt about evangelism. They were words like scary, hesitant, unsure, inadequate, and apprehensive. As if that weren't bad enough, when we then got to the final week, we plastered things all over him all over again. And on this occasion, it was messages that people were writing to each other at the end of the course about why we should carry on and share our faith anyway. They said things like, just do it, it does get better. Someone else wrote, have a go. Someone else wrote, you are the conduit, don't worry. As we come to the end of the course, and almost just one more week to go, to the end of this series on sharing the good news, I want to pass on some words of encouragement that are to be found in the story that Anne just read to us. The context, and we can only have a little bit of it because it's a long chapter, but the context is an absolutely remarkable one. Paul is the one speaking up in the story, is no longer a free man. He's been a prisoner for almost 2 years. And now he stands before the puppet king of Judea, who was Herod's grandson, remember Herod from the Christmas story, and the Roman procurator. There's no doubt at all that in the story that you've just heard, he is not the one who has power in his hands. And yet, look at the way that he carries himself. Just look at the way that he speaks up for Jesus in that incredibly pressurized setting. Look at it and be encouraged. Look at it and take note. Next time you feel that you've got to speak up for your faith, next time you feel that you want to speak up for Jesus, but you feel small and overshadowed or maybe just downright inadequate, look at it and learn. And here's the first thing, be faithful. Listen, from the moment we are saved, from the second that we say yes to Jesus, we are recruited into the gospel workforce whose task is to share the same good news which has transformed our own lives. And that doesn't just apply to the special ones or the holy ones or the experts or the potential missionaries. That applies to all of us. We are recruited into the workforce of those who are to share the name of Jesus. Now, Paul, of course, if you remember the story, had his particular charge delivered to him as he sat unseeing in the house of a stranger, a man called Judas, in Straight Street, Damascus. In his particular case, he specifically had a charge to go and deliver the gospel to the Gentiles, people who made his Jewish skin crawl and whom he regarded as being beyond the pale. But he was told to go and share the gospel with them anyway. And despite a very rocky start, where you may recall when Barnabas tries to introduce Paul to the rest of the Christians, he practically has to knock their heads together to force them to talk to each other. Despite a rocky start, Paul goes on and he does that. He fulfills that commission right up to the very end. And I mean right up to the very end. Do any of you remember? It probably doesn't happen anymore because television goes on all the time. They used to be closed down on television. Do you remember that? and it would gradually shrink to a little dot in the middle of the screen. When that happens with Paul's life, very end of Acts, when it happens, just as the dot is shrinking on the screen, he's still doing it, he's still doing it, he's still doing it, he's still doing it, right up until the screen goes blank, he is still sharing the story of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen, come hell or high water, come angry crowds or prison cells, come beatings or slander of every kind, come accusations and rejections and rumours. He just would not let it go. And so when he stands there before the king and the Roman procurator, he says to them, verse 19, I was not disobedient to the vision. I was faithful. Now listen, there's a general vision that applies to all of us. There's a general vision that applies to all of us. Every man and woman who owns the name of Christ, and that vision is to speak up for him whenever and wherever we can. But there is a specific vision, a specific mission too. What's yours? Who is it that you are meant to be telling about Jesus Christ? And see, the trouble, or the wonderful thing maybe, is that you're the only one who can do it in that particular context. Who is it that you are meant to be telling about Jesus? We talked a bit about this on Monday on the last session of the course, and we said how important it is when somebody comes to faith that they need to go on and to tell somebody within 24 hours that they've taken that step, because voicing it actually validates it and embeds it in their lives. They need to tell someone. I believe there's someone that you haven't told. Someone in your life that you still haven't told how much Jesus means to you. Maybe it's someone in a branch of your family where you don't usually talk to them. Maybe it's someone who sits in a little bit of your past that you'd rather forget. Maybe it's someone who sits opposite you every time you eat a meal at home and you have never told them how much Jesus means to you. Well, you really need to get on and you really need to do it, and you need to do it today. Be faithful. And be steadfast as well. You know, being steadfast is not quite the same as being faithful, because it implies that there is some degree of opposition. Steadfast is the kind of word that we use for explorers laboring on through snow and ice and every kind of adversity to get to their distant goal. It's the kind of word we use for Paralympians who refuse to be defined by their disability but go on training and falling and falling and training until at last they get the recognition that they deserve. It's very easy, you know, to look at this passage and think that there's just a little bit of light verbal sparring going on between Paul and these important people. To feel it's almost like peering in on a kind of university debating society. It's not. Festus is the Roman procurator, a very powerful man. Agrippa is the grandson of King Herod, a family who were legendary for their short temper and their volatility and their outright brutality. They have Paul utterly within their thrall. In this story where Paul is speaking up, they hold the power of life and death over him. He's already been in prison for 2 years. He will end up in prison again after this story. And when the very powerful Festus, who's actually the more powerful one in this story, though he's not called king, when the very powerful Festus interrupts Paul and makes fun of him and patronizes him, verse 24, "Oh, you're out of your mind, Paul," he shouts. "Your great learning is driving you insane." When he does that, Paul, the man in chains, surrounded by these powerful people, comes straight back at him. Verse 25, "No, I haven't." That takes some pluck, doesn't it? Yeah, there he is, in chains, entirely in these people's hands, and when one of them makes fun of the faith that he holds dear, straight away he comes back to him and says, "Actually, no, I'm not being driven mad by all of this." And then he actually plays, it's very clever this, he plays the Roman at his own game. So he then turns to King Agrippa, who is Jewish, and says, "Well, of course, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You understand the scriptures that I'm referring to." You know, this is not a man who is cowed This is not a man who will mute his witness the tiniest little bit when threatened. The interesting thing is that long before Paul was on the scene, Jesus promised this to his disciples, Luke chapter 12 and verse 11. When, not if, when you are brought before synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. Why? For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. That was a promise of Jesus to his disciples. And here it comes true in the life of a person who's not a disciple. He's actually a disciple of a disciple who never met Jesus in the flesh, who's come late to the party. And yet here he is standing up for Jesus. And all of a sudden, all those words come true where Jesus says, when you are put on the spot, you will be given what it is that you need to say. And that will come true for you. It absolutely will. When you go back to that person that I needled you about a bit, that you haven't spoken to, you will find that you are given that the words that you need to have. And for you, it may not be that you're witnessing to somebody powerful, although it could be. It might be that you're witnessing to someone who you feel is powerful to you. Maybe it's the friend who always seems to have the answers for absolutely everything, and no matter how hard you try, they always seem to come back to you and bat it away again. Maybe it's the aunt or uncle who forever seems to think that you are 5 years old, even though you've now got children of your own, and treats anything you embrace, from faith to gardening, as an innocent and rather endearing foible. Maybe it's your boss at work who seems strangely interested in what it is that you get up to the weekend and finding out about church, but you're not quite sure how far you dare press it in terms of explaining why that matters so much to you. Maybe this week your moment is going to come to speak up. And when it does, you need to be faithful. Utterly faithful to what God has called you to do. And when it does, you need to be steadfast and not put off for anybody or anything. But the other thing you need to be is generous. Every time I read this story, I find it astonishing how generous Paul is in his spirit here. You know, Paul tries to resist their mocking. He bats it back to Festus. He tries to bring Agrippa in and pull in his Jewish background. He tries to do the right thing. They still don't seem to get it. Verse 28, Agrippa is still making fun of him. Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Listen, these guys have got him in chains. These guys have got him in control. They utterly hold his destiny in their hands. They're mocking the very thing that he holds dearest in all the world. And yet, if you've got it open in front of you, have a look at what happens next. He comes back to them and he says, "I'm going to pray for you." These people who at a moment's notice could put his life to an end, and who are mocking everything that he seems to be saying to them. His response is to say in verse 29, "Short time along, I pray to God that not only you, but all the people who are listening to me today might become what I am," except for the chains, of course. I wonder, had he maybe learnt that attitude from Stephen the martyr? Remember the first time we ever meet Paul is when Stephen is being stoned to death. And as the camera, as it were, closes on his life, Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, the last thing he ever hears Stephen say is, "Lord, don't hold this against them, will you?" What a generous spirit. And then, of course, Stephen had learnt it from Jesus. Stephen had learnt it from Jesus and from those who had been there at the end, who'd heard the end of Jesus' life and had heard him cry out to God with his last little bit of breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, be faithful to the vision you've been given. Be steadfast and don't be put off, but also be generous of spirit. It's a big ask. It's a big ask when you're doing your level best to overcome your fears and to share the gospel with someone who really matters to you, and they rebut it time and time and time again, or they fire questions at you like a water cannon being fired at a crowd trying to push them back. At those times, it's so hard to be generous of spirit, but God needs us to do it. God needs us to be the bigger person. He needs us to have the bigger part, the bigger heart. I remember years ago watching story of Nicky Cruz, you know, crossing the switchblade. And there's a great moment when David Wilkerson, who wrote the story, is challenging Nicky Cruz about the gospel. And Nicky Cruz has the blade of a switchblade pressed to David Wilkerson's throat. He says, come near me and talk about that stuff and I'll kill you. And David Wilkerson says, yeah, you could do that. You could cut me up into 1,000 pieces and lay them out in the street, and every piece will still say, I love you. That's generous. You're unlikely ever to face a threat like that, God willing. But I wonder whether we can find it within us to be generous when others are refusing to take seriously the gospel which we offer to them. Look at verse 29 again. Paul says, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all the people who are listening to me today might become what I am. I suspect that everybody in that courtroom, and it wouldn't just have been the two men and Paul, there have been all kinds of courtiers and witnesses. I suspect that everyone there would remember to their dying day the moment when a man in chains appeared to be the freest man in the room and sounded like he loved the people that were holding him captive. You know, I grew up in a home initially where I was the only Christian. A year later, my brother came to faith. I grew up in a home where it was thought odd that I wanted to go to church, and I was thought to be overly serious because I wanted to read the Bible and pray. I know that home is the hardest place to be a Christian. I know it's the hardest place to stand up for your faith because the people who share a home with you know you better than anybody else, and they see you when you're horrible, and they see you when you've just got up, and they see you when you've had a bad day at work, and they see you in all those bad contexts. They see you at your weakest, but even there, you need to be utterly faithful to what God has called you to do, and you need to be steadfast, and you need to be the most generous person in the place. Because that way the gospel will prevail. So be faithful to your particular vision and be steadfast. Don't be knocked off course. Be unusually generous. I don't know whether you ever think about heaven much. I never used to. I do it a lot now. It preoccupies me quite a lot in my quieter moments. I long to breathe its air. I long to hear the sound of my footsteps echoing on its streets. I have very little concept of what it looks like. I have quite a lot of understanding about what it will feel like. I want to ask you just for a moment to close your eyes and to picture this moment. I want you to imagine you are there in heaven, however you picture it, savoring its beauty, drinking in the atmosphere, hearing the sound of your footsteps echoing on heaven's streets. And all of a sudden, not too far away, you spot someone whom you never expected to see. In fact, last time you saw them, you were doing your level best to witness to them, and they were having none of it, and they were laughing it off, and they were turning away. And now here they are, living forever and enjoying heaven, just like you. You go up and you hug them, and then you step back, and you can't quite help yourself saying what you probably shouldn't. And you say, I never expected to see you here. Oh, they say, didn't you know you're the one who showed me the way? That's going to be a good day in heaven. You can open your eyes now. That's going to be a good day in heaven when that happens. When you see that person who, to your own enormous surprise, is there because you pointed them in the right direction. So be faithful and be steadfast. And for God's sake, be generous. And one day be surprised at whom that has reached. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the witness of this man, Paul. Thank you, Father, for those that we have seen around about us who are faithful and steadfast and generous. And we ask that you would help us to be the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, Phil, could we just see the words of this hymn on the screen? I came a bit late to the party with this hymn. It's not that old, but I only encountered this a few years ago. The context in which I encountered it was a graduation ceremony for me at Fairfield Halls in Croydon. And in amongst the group of people who were graduating with me was a couple from Myanmar. When they went home, they were going to be arrested as they stepped off the plane because they were pursuing a calling to be faithful and steadfast and generous in sharing the gospel. They knew that was going to happen. And so I stood alongside them and I sung this hymn about our name being graven on his hands. We cling to that truth. Let's stand and sing it together. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he